Chapter 7, Helping Granny and a Story. Robbie wakened with the alarm clock dirling next to him up at the bedside cabinet. He reckoned out, snicked it off, and opened his een. The clock said 7:30. The sun was beating in the window again. Usually that would make him spring out of bed, but this morning had vexed him, for it just made him think what he wanted to be doing. No, hate to be doing the day up at the Ha with George and Kirsty, and for it wasna going to happen because of telling a pretty lee the stream. He raised and sat up in his bed a stair, thinking about what had happened the night afore, and for little time they had to find out whatever it was young man was seeking. He went his fit and good over to the window for a look, nugging it open to let in the morning air. The mist was but keen, just pretty lusk so it over the vow and around the hills, and no a breath of wind. He saw the star in his boat poking out of the noost. Had made him mair dimmalurie as he rigged him and platched down the stair into the butt end, where his mother was making tea. "Morning, Robbie," she said, pouring half a cup. "Do's up early." She was back to her normal cell. The flighting of the stream surely subsided. "Hmm," said Robbie. He set himself down at the table, his head resting upon a loof, bursing his cheek up nearly to his een. "Forsaken a face," she said, setting the cup of tea for him. "Do let the watch no trip over yon bottom lip when do rises." She was smiling, but Robbie couldn't see the humorous side of anything this morning. She laid down a bowl of cereal for him, and he kind of steered and picked him out for a start. She set her down in the chair next to him with her cup of tea, half reading a letter, half looking up at Robbie. "What's grippity this morning? Do has a face like a run dick end, Robbie." "Mam, this isn't fair," he said to her. "Can I no pent granny shade the morn or another day? Me and George were made plans for the day, and we didn't do anything silly. We just lost track of the time." She looked a pretty sock, putting her letter down. "Listen," she began, "will do just ging and pent the shade for thy grandmother, and then it's done. But why is do no want the helper? Think about her for a minute, rather as whatever Dee and George was going to do today." "I can, ma'am. I do want the helper. Of course I do. But it's just that we were..." He wanted to tell her what they were seeing and heard, but she wouldn't understand, or worse still, tell them that they were to bide clear of the Ha and Uncle Main. He couldn't tell her, for they were all sworn that they would keep this to themselves and forbid that. If they didn't get anything done today, had to be hour late to find out what was going on. "What is it you were going to do anyway? It was that important?" she asked. "You weren't going back up to the Ha, were you?" "Nah," Robbie said. "He can't. That was been their plan, but since it would be hour late now to find out what was going on, there were no point yet another flighting for it." "I don't want thee or Kirsty going up there again. Dost thou hear me?" she said, pretty wise. There was something about the way she said it that made him think again that they were mair to this place than just the old house. He wanted to ask what it was, but didna. He thought it best just to agree for the sake of it. "Okay, we wunna." Robbie's head got back in his loof. She raised for the table. "No, do better finish thy breakfast and get thyself down the road to thy grandmother's." And with that, she was off out the door and through the house. Robbie could hear the hoover firing up, so he swallowed up his splitting cup, hauled on his shoon and jacket, and made for the shade to get his bike out. As he cycled up the brae and by the tugs, he thought it would stop and have to tell George that they wouldn't be able to gang to the Ha the day, but he carried on by, thinking that he would rather get started with a penton. Plus, he thought, George would likely still be in his bed. He got a bit of laugh thinking that if he got the penton finished early... Then he thought of the size of his grandmother's shade and the time it would take to do the work. He turned off of the main road and up the gravelly gate to his grandmother's house. It was a muckle twa-story house with a great stone deck right around it. At the back there were a muckle garden with an old byre mistling brook and the shade that he was come to paint. He enjoyed going there, for there were a lot of things to explore both in the house and round about it. He cycled up, opened the grind and hurled his bike in, leaning along the wa. As he got by the kitchen window to the back door, he saw his granny standing at the sink and she lifted her hand to wave. Right away, Robbie felt better, for she was aye that cheery and lightsome with him. He shoved open the door and made in through. He could tell right away that she was the Hertoil of Bacon, for the warm, sweet smell of fresh bannocks wafted by him as he came in, and for all that he was just had his breakfast had made him hungry again. "Hello, Granny, it's just me," he said, stepping into the kitchen. "Now, Robbie, me boy, come a wine through," she said, rubbing her hands on a tool. "That's a fine day again. Do's making an early start." Robbie didn't want to say it was earlier as he would have lappened, but he was blithe to see her. "Yeah, it is that. Better as the night of drush it was the stream. For you today." "Ach, well, I'm just sick like Robbie. I thought I would do a grain of baking this morning, and was just in time to try this bannocks. Would you take a cup of tea?" "Yeah, that would be fine," Robbie said, watching the steam rising for the bung of bannocks that his granny pulled back the dishcloth off of the tray and wailed out in for him. He wanted to get cracking with the work, but he couldn't resist his granny's begging. She poured half a cup of tea and set the twa halves of bannock up at the plate after cleaning them with jam. "Now, there you goes, eat up. Yon's the jam I made for a yon rhubarb that Kirsty took in for the garden. There nae want out the year. I wish the rest of the garden would grow the same way." Robbie sank his teeth into the warm, soft bannock and thought that was just splendid. Nobody made bannocks like Granny. She yarned away while he was eating, telling him her bits of news. She asked Robbie about his holidays in the boat, and he spat back between mouthfuls, spruting bits of bannock out of the table. "So there's gone the pently shade," she said, when he was finished. "Well, blessings a pity, Robbie, for that. Yon old shade's been needing a cot of paint now for a while. That's fairly been done this last couple of year, and I'm no able to do anything with it." "That's all right, Granny," said Robbie, swallowing half his plate and cup by the sink. "I dunna mind doing it, and it's a fine day for it." He didn't make any hint of what either he was wanting to be doing that day, although it was at the front of his mind, wondering if the twa men was this very minute up at the Ha, and maybe already fun what they were after. "So I'll ging and make a start then," he said, making for the outer door. "Is the paint and brushes out in the shade?" "Yes, yes," she answered him. "Too lazy fin it, but dunna spend a' thy time upon it. Just do what you can and dunna spread thysel over it. It's only a old shade." He left her to get back to her baking and got out the back door and threw the wooden grind into the garden. There were a narrow path between Dick and the bit where she grew her vegetables, and he could make out tatties, carrots, nips and kill and a' coming wheel on. The shade was up at the top of the garden, and as he wandered up, a cat spanged out from under a bush next to him and tore across the gers, up over a bung of wood and vanished out of the dick, gyan like the melishin. "Must be the wildings that bides about here sometimes," he thought, "likely shist and stirlings among the trees." When he went to the shade door, he turned the key that was aye stuck in the hall and gave a shiv. The shade still had the same waft that he'd aye minded, a mixture of pent and creaset, wood spellocks, pits and paraffin for the metal drum that aye sat at the corner under the window. When his grandfather was living, he was aye out of the shade, making things or fixing bits and pieces, and the place was still full of aye's gear. There were old chisels and planes about the bench, and a great myriad of boxes and tins, full of nails and staples, screws and washers, nuts and bolts, hinges, old spark plugs, hooks and gut and a hundred other things. A log what likely never would have been used. Had was been lying for years and years, but it was a' there, just in case. He found it in a pent for the shade, and steeping in an old carnation milk tinny, a brush that his uncle was left for another job. There were a wire brush for scraping off the waste of the flag and pen before he started. He prised the lid off with an old screwdriver and with a pretty length of wood off of the floor gave the tin a steer. With that, he was all set to get on with the job. It took less time as he was lapping to clap on the pen, and before long he was gotten the front nearly done. When he went as far as the corner, he stood back to inspect it. The new pen was made some odds to the likely of the shade. No, it was a fresh blue or duke egg as it said about the tinny. He looked at the gavel end and thought he wouldn't take long to finish the whole thing. He was just getting the hidmost bit covered when his grandmother appeared round the corner, still wearing her pinny. Robbie thought that he was only ever seen her once without her pinny, and that was at a wedding. But either as that, she wore in day out, day in, the same way that his grandfather was done with his boiler suit. "My, my, Robbie," she said, piemen. Dus duine maas klinken job dat panden. Wat de odds het meet. Het looks just like a new sheet. Dankzij die verdunnen. Ach, dat is aanrecht, Granny, Robbie zei, blij dat je was pleased with his work. I'm not doing yet, though. I do it in another cot. He picked up the tin off of the ground and had a look at the label, and his heart kind of laughed it. Oh, it says it needs 16 hours before it can be painted again, so I do it no had time to dry the day. So, there are no odds for the second cot this day. It can be done again. Come the whiz in for a grain of twill now. Do certainly earned it. What a splendid job do's done. In the kitchen, Robbie could see that his grandmother was made up a special twill, a plate of sandwiches to ging with a cup of tea. He set them down at the table and eyed them up. She filled the teapot up with a stove for the kettle. Some drops spilt over the heat stove as she poured, the beads of water swaying as they danced upon it before evaporating with a hiss. That do this meat for don't need it after thy morning's work, she said to Robbie. He was already halfway through the cheese and tomato sandwiches with our food to spit. Thy mother was on the phone just now, she could on, setting twa cups down upon the table. Thy may pretty smile, she said. I think she was making sure they were doing thy chores. Oh, of course I was. I'm glad to help you, Granny. What did you say there? Her shoulders kind of shook as she gasped. Don't do worry, Robbie, me boy. I tell the doers doing a splendid job of painting. She ragged the hunter for the teapot, poured off the twa cups and set the pot back up at the stove again. And she told me that Dee and Kirsty and George was been up at the old hardestring and come back late to the skin. His Granny let out a pretty sigh, looking up at him. I think you lot would be better never gaan near it. There are plenty of other places for you to ging and push come on. Robbie wept showing when she said this, for he thought, if anything, she would have been more turn about them getting socked and likely ending up with a cold. He wasn't allowing her to warn him after the hard too, like his mother was doing. Just what was it about this place that nobody wanted them to ging there? We got a speaking day from Mam the Strine about it, and we said we'll no ging again. I was wondering, Granny, what is it about the heart that's so bad? We're being told to bite clear out that there's nothing to see there. Now that we've been there and seen there is to see, and they were no muckle, but why are we still being told to bite away for it? I do not understand what the big deal is. She set her cup down, looked at Robbie and then down at the table, and looked at another pretty sock. Well, she began, it all started many years for sign, and I found out between one side of the family, well, thy late grandfather's side, the hunters that is, but I'll say it's worse side for ages, and the laird that was at that time, and his family. There were a terrible thing that happened between the hunters and the laird. What happened? It might have been brawly bad, Robbie said. It was awful, Robbie, she got on, shaking her head, events obviously clear in her mind. A while back in 1863, there were a ship that was wrecked after the back of Store here, in a most awful night of distress. She was a muckle sailing ship called the Intrepid, and she was sailing for England to America when she got catched with a gale. With her sails torn and her masts done, she got ashore at the north side of the Warrego, up at that shell pit there. There were a crew of 54 aboard her, and only 3 survived. The rest was drowned, poor souls, and most of the bodies was never found. The 7 bodies that came ashore eventually is buried here at the kirkyard. Gee whiz, Robbie said. I'm heard of a shipwreck there, but didn't the kind it was sick in a muckle boat. So what why does that come to involve our family and the laird? Well, thy relation that was involved was called Archibald Hunter, or Archie, as Abbey kent him. Now, let me get this right. His grandmother talked for a minute afore carrying on with the story. She was counting upon her fingers as she worked out the family link. He would come to be thy grandfather. So we came back a long way. Robbie's een widened, thinking about how long ago this was. Yet the way his grandmother was telling it, it felt like it was happened nae time ago. No, she went on, he bade your sooth by where you bide noo, at the Rissyburn. There's nothing left of the house noo of that, it's all just mouldered away. Robbie nodded his head, for he was been there a many a time and wondered about what it would been like when it was a working craft. It wasn't even half a mile from his house, and he eagered back walking to the banks when he was looking for Rackwood. Well, Archie was seen this ship bumbling about for a piece of the afternoon and can't be the state of her sails that she wouldn't have won clear a store and was gone to King of Grund. They said that he was a most powerful man, for it was the middle of November, and he set off himself in his foreign to see if he could save anybody. He skugged by the lee side of Stour out into the open sea, that was as course a day as any could mind. As he went near the Intrepid, he could see she was already grounded. He came across twa men of the water that managed to win aboard. There were another man hanging on to Runkerstack like a wilk. He went aboard too. Archie could see men up at the deck of the boat waving, some of them lashed to what was left of the masts, and the sea breaking over them. He tried to win to them, but then he realised there were nae mair he could do without being lost himself, so he turned and rowed back in the vaw. He hauled up at the oars himself, for nane of the three survivors was fit to stand, let alone row. He got them ashore with the darkening and carried them up to the house. This is after a' the rowing he was doing, and his wife got them dried and warmed up and back to the land of the living. Twa the neighbour folk took a man apiece of them, for Archie and Dame only had a pretty button bane, with their ain family of four in it, so they were only room for one in their house. They looked after them for 20 weeks and got them back in a cursing state. Then they got back down to England. Wow, he man had some strength, Granny, to manage to row through that and save yon three men and get them to the shore and then carry them up to the house, Robbie said, as he had the picture of that night gone round his head. What happened after that? Well, the next day the gale was by, and it was fairly plat calm, so Archie and a lock of the men good off to see if there were any sign of life. But a' they were met with was a lock of wood and canvas floating in the sea, and every gyo round the boat was full of bits of the ship, for she was laid entirely in scroll. Over the week after the disaster, the men gathered up what they could, for wood was a scarce thing, and they could at least make use of it. Half the lintels in your byre is wood for the Intrepid, and there are doors of houses round the boat with bits of her in their bigging. She set her empty cup up at the table and stared out the window. They just found 7 bodies, that's a'. That's them that's here at the kirkyard. 4 of them was at the shirmel of the Warry Gio, and the other 3 at the mouth of the Sund. The other 44 men was never seen again, their bodies never found. Poor things. Looking at his grandmother, Robbie could see that her inn was watery. He didn't really ken what to say for a pretty while. What was the ship carrying? He asked. Well, that's one of the strange things with Robbie, for nobody kent for sure what she had aboard. The 3 men that lived wouldna say, or couldna say, but word gied around that she was carrying Welsh slit. Some said she was carrying guns and cannons to America, for they were fechting over there at the time, said the Lord Kains. Some even thought she was carrying gold bars, but I thought that was just a story, she said, kind of sneestering. Robbie's een lit up at the thought, even if it was a story, just think of it. But there was something on that boat, she got on, something that had value to something, and Archie found it and took it ashore with him on any of the days he was salvaging. That's where the laird came into the story. He found out about this, whatever it was, and demanded that Archie hand it over to him at once. Seeing as the ship was founded upon his land, he was claiming it as his own. And was it his? Robbie wondered. He was very taken with the story. Not at all, Robbie, she said, not at all. If anything, it would hate to gain to the receiver of Rex. But, to see, nobody kent about this thing that Archie was found, either as himself, the laird, and some of his workers. Nobody else had kent what was on that ship was being lost, and as far as I ken, the 3 men that lived didn't ken about it, or say they claimed. But Granny, what on earth could that have been? A gun? A cannon, maybe? It had to be something like that. Robbie was fascinated with the story, for he felt the man be mair dead. But he could see by the way as Granny was rubbing her hands together that it wasn't easy for her to speak about, even though it happened long before she was even born. I dinna ken, Robbie, and naebody does. But what happened after was the worst part of the whole thing, and it breaks me heart just thinking about it. She rose and got to the stove to bring the teapot over again. She poured a corn of tea in their cups. Robbie could feel the tension in the room. Whenever she told the laird that he wasn't getting it, for it didn't belong to him, the laird threatened him. He said that unless he had this thing in his hands in 3 days, then he was going to evict Archie and his family and pull their house to the ground. That's what he said, the venom that he was. Oh, he was the devil's work, that man. Well, Archie might have been as strong in the mind as he was in the body, for he told the laird again that he had no right to get it, that try as he might to kick them out of their house, he wouldna win. But, Granny, why did Archie not just get to him and be done with it? I didn't think it could have been that important. Robbie was trying hard to make sense of it. Who could the laird kick them out of the house? And where would they gang? Well, you see, they were just tenants about the craft. The laird owned all the land round about, and Archie, like everybody else, paid him same muckle every year in rent to buy there. The laird could have had them evicted if he wanted. But what a thing to think of, scooming a young family out of their house in the hard toil of winter, nae roof over their heads and nae craft to live off. That would have been the end of them. She shook her head slowly from side to side. But then, Robbie, what happened after the laird was made yon threat was fully aware. Ane of his workers came round in the middle of the night and told Archie that the laird was only really going to give him 2 nights to hand over this thing. He said he kent what a hard man his boss was, and that if he wasna handed over by the 2nd day, then he was going to come and burn the house down when they were all sleeping and make it seem like an accident. Well, that was it. Archie had nae choice but to hand it over to him. Whatever he was fun wasna worth the lives of his family. See, the next night, Archie took this thing, whatever it was, and set off with his boat. He surely meant to take it to the ha, or to slip it off some way either. But the next morning, 2 men off at the fishing found his boat capsized. His body was never found. What? He did? Robbie asked, his eyes wide open again, for he wasn't looking to hear that. Was it an accident? Well, a lock of fox suspected the laird was made sure Archie never made it home, but in yon times, crofters had very few rights compared to the lairds. There were nae inquiry like what you would hate a day. He was an ill-vanded creature, there nae doubt of that. Robbie could see that she was gotten brawly upset telling the story, and nae wonder. This lasted a minute, nae noise either as the ticking of the clock by the wah, and the shifting wrinkle or pit mouldering at the stove. Do you think the laird killed him, Granny? She shifted the plate of biscuit across to Robbie, taking her time before she spoke. Well, nobody kens for certain, but I doubt he did. Archie was earth kent as someone that could handle a boat and read the sea. I dunna think it was an accident of war. And forby, if the laird was thinking that burned down his house and killed 6 folk, he wouldna think twice about killing Archie on his own. He was a venomous lipper of a man, be a kunts. Robbie could understand now why he was been warned off gan near the old ha after what was going on between the 2 families that years ago. He didn't feel bad about gan there, for it was just a hoose, and that laird was langing. His head was muddling as he tried to put together the bits of the story. He wondered if there were a link between what his granny was telling him and what him and Kirsty and George were seeing there the stream. His mind was gan 20 to the dozen. See, what came of the family? Robbie wondered, trying to think what it would have been like for his grandfather as a pretty boy with nae feather. Well, they carried on biding where they were, with help for the neighbour folk and friends, and the next laird treated them a piece better, I think. Archie's widow brought up the 4 bairns, but they all moved away throughout time. 2 of them ended up in New Zealand, his daughter moved to Lerwick, and I dad's grandfather begged this house here by the croft. Had said hunters in it for sign. Come, I've never heard about this afore, Granny, he asked. She started gathering up the lime off of the table and set the plates down next to the sink. Well, you see, it was a long time ago, Robbie. It would have been an awful trying time for the family, as you can imagine. See, it didn't get spoken about that muckle. The hurt can still run deep if we let it. The folk just hate to get on with things, I would think. Thy dad spake about his grandfather a lock. That's Archie's oldest boy, but he could mind that night as clear as can be. He was keeping 20 bits and pieces for his time, and they're still upstairs to the left in an old wooden kist that was been Archie's. He kind of treasured his father's old kist after he was lost. Sad, isn't it? That it is, Robbie replied. Say, Archie's kist is still here. What's that in it, I wonder? Well, I'm no seen it for years, but they were no muckle within it, 20 books and some tools, and some other bits of gear, but nothing of great account as far as I can. Robbie sat and wondered for a pretty minute as his granny carried on clearing the table. Can I gang in here look through it? He asked, rising with a plate and carrying it over to the sink. I've never seen anything that old afore. That too can. Never leak this lame. I'll clear the wall. Yeah, gang thee was up in here wrecked through it. Mind I sell up the stair, the lights would work at the loft. She didn't even hear Robbie leave in the room. All she saw was the door under the lobby lying to the back and heard his footsteps up the stair.